Love in New Orleans, Jerry Mulligan, Bob Brookmeyer, Bill Crow and Gus Johnson in 1962. And now, here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello. Concert music tonight from trombonist and national treasure Chris Barber. The Big Chris Barber Band recorded recently at this year's Brecon Jazz Festival. Stay tuned for that concert set later on the programme. Also on the show, I'll be joined by vocalist Claire Martin and composer Mark Anthony Turnage, who've been collaborating together on her new album, which also makes creative use of the Montpellier Cello Quartet. And more from the Montpellier Cello Quartet with Mark and Claire later on the show. First up, something brand new from guitarist Nigel Price, formerly of the James Taylor Quartet, and now he has his own organ trio, and this track adds the tenor saxophone of Vasilis Xenopoulos. This is Hot Seat.
We'll be right back.
Hot Seat from the Nigel Price Organ Trio, plus Vasilis Xenopoulos on tenor saxophone. Matt Holm was on the drums, Pete Whitaker was on Hammond organ, and Nigel was leading from the guitar. The album is called Hit the Road and out now on the 33 Records label. Canadian-born keyboardist Andy Milne emerged in the early 90s as an integral player in saxophonist Steve Coleman's band. And during that time, he released some impressive and creative albums of his own. Now, his band Dap Theory NYC released their third album, and this is Nice to Meet You. From his new album produced by Yellow Jackets bassist Jimmy Haslip, it's called Forward in All Directions and out on the Whirlwind Recordings label. Now, Mammal Hands are a British trio of sax, piano and drums who cite Steve Reich, North Indian and African musical influences and who create quite meditative sounds through repetition and simple harmonies that hold an open integrity. This is Mansion of Millions of Years.
Thank you.
the unique flavor of Mammal Hands and Mansion of Millions of Years from their brand new album Animalia, out now on the Gondwana label. Well, back to the organ, now in the hands of Joey DeFrancesco, who features on a new recording from vibraphone innovator Bobby Hutcherson, along with alto saxophone icon Dave Sanborn and drum great Billy Hart. The album marks a spirited return to the Blue Note label for the vibraphone master. This is Hutcherson's Teddy.
Thank you.
Teddy from vibraphonist Bobby Hutcherson with David Sanborn, Joey DeFrancesco and Billy Hart. The album is strong and in keeping with Hutcherson's great track record, especially with this label. The new album is called Enjoy the View. Coming up next, an interview with singer Claire Martin and composer Mark Anthony Turnage. But before we hear from them, this is how they sound on Mark's arrangement of Joni Mitchell's Two Grey Rooms.
Tomorrow is Sunday. Now there's only one day left to go till you walk by below my window. The weekends drive me mad. Holidays are all too sad, 'cause you don't go below my window. No one knows I'm here. One day I just disappeared, and I took these two gray rooms up here. Two gray rooms up here with the view. When you walk by below my window,
Joni Mitchell's Two Grey Rooms, performed by a lady well known to listeners of Jazz Lineup, Claire Martin. Welcome to the other side of the desk.
Thank you, Julian. Lovely to be here.
It's great to have you. And also joining us for the interview is a man of the highest musical credentials. He's your musical associate, the celebrated classical composer, Mark Anthony Turnage. Welcome, Mark.
Great to be here.
It's Thank great you. To have you here. We just heard your version of Joni Mitchell's Two Grey Rooms. Claire, firstly, tell us what drew you to that particular composition.
That song I've always loved, and the theme of this album is called Time and Place. It's all about travel, places, you know, time. Mm-hmm. I asked Mark, did he like that particular track, which he did. Mm-hmm. Big fan of Joni Mitchell's. When I first met Mark, he was doing a celebration of things he loved and asked me to sing some Joni Mitchell at a concert. Mm-hmm. So we had this big connection with her, and he's even met her, I'm sure he'll talk to you about that. And I said, how do you feel about having a go at this song? And we just both loved it very much. We loved the story behind it and the tragedy, but it's so beautiful. So I can't believe it still, you know, he's done this wonderful arrangement for me. I'm still knocked out with it.
So in a sense, a joint decision for your collaboration.
I think so. There are many to choose from, weren't there? But that one we liked.
Yeah, well, I think it's Neglected. It's a great song on the album. It's like at the end of the album. It was A Night Ride Home, and I always felt that it was slightly lost, and I never heard many versions of it. That was quite a good thing as well. I mean, there were lots of collaborations with various people. Actually, when I met Joni Mitchell, was actually when she was doing the album Both Sides Now, you know, the orchestral one with Vince Mendoza.
Yeah.
Pete Erskine's on that, and of course, yeah. I collaborated a lot with Pete Erskine, and that's why I met her. I went to the studio, I was completely knocked out. I remember I was moving home that day or the next day, and people weren't very happy about me being in the studio with Joni Mitchell, but I just had to get there just to see her in the studio.
So, and how yeah. would you describe her? Did you get a chance to vibe with her?
Yeah, I did for about half an hour. I couldn't believe it. I keep pinching myself. I was actually talking to Joni Mitchell. And she was smoking a lot because she smokes chain smokes.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm here just talking to her. And I thought, probably it's never going to happen. I've never met her since. I've never bumped into her or any other thing. But I don't know. It was really, really quite special.
I think when I was talking to Peter Erskine once about Mark being at that session, apparently Mark was in the booth with Peter, and he was sharing the earphones, and after about eight bars of something, I can't remember what song it was, apparently Mark said to Peter Erskine, "That's better than Brahms, that is better than Brahms."
Well, that's a compliment for me. I was crying a lot as well. It was very hard, it was very emotional just to hear her. She was in the next booth, Peter was there playing the drums, and the next booth, she was singing, you know, really freely, and that was
amazing.
Isn't it? It's an incredible record, that.
Yeah.
Well, this record is particularly poignant, I think. And how did the idea of working with the cello quartet come to you, Claire?
That was a fluke. My daughter was taking cello lessons with one of these cellists from the Montpellier Cello Quartet. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of, at the end, when she was packing up, I was chatting away, and he said, "Oh, I've got a gig with four cellos." And I said, "Oh, that's great. I've never actually heard four cellos on their own."
Mm-hmm.
And it was at a local church in Brighton where we all live, and I went to see them, and I just thought it sounded terrific. And I thought, I wonder what it'd be like. Mm. I was looking for a change as well, you know, the passing of Richard Rodney Bennett.
Sure.
So the idea of doing something completely different from the usual jazz piano-based drum thing was very appealing.
Right.
And, you know, working with some women,
right.
and just seeing how her voice sat in those colours. Everybody loves cello, but four together I think is really special, and it's unusual. Just trying a little bit of reinvention, a little bit of, oh, this is what I'm doing now, you know, I've been at it a long time now, so I've got to keep trying to make it fresh. So then I thought, right, I've got to call some favours. And Mark was one of the big guns who was very kindly, I think he did it for lunch in Soho. I still owe him. But put this together very quickly as well, even though he was busy. He managed to do this, and it was one of the first ones we'd got together. So,
what drew you to Claire? How did you two become entwined musically?
I think it was Richard Rodney Bennett.
Richard,
who was a remarkable person. Mm-hmm. I mean, I only knew him really for 10-12 years. Mm-hmm. I had friends in America who knew him very well, and people kept saying to me, including my teacher Oliver Nusson, who was a huge fan of Richard's, said, you'd get on with Richard so well, you just click. And of course, there's a lot of pressure then, so I remember meeting him in a restaurant and thinking, we've got to get on, but actually straight away, within the first minute, it was amazing. It's like, and then we had this sort of email affair where we'd like write for, because it's the first time I was on email, I remember in 2000, 2001, and I used to write him loads of emails. And we just, I don't know, he was one of the funniest people that I ever met.
He loved you, he absolutely loved you.
Well, I just loved him so much. And actually, thinking about people and musicians that I met over the years, he was so charismatic, apart from being funny. Yeah, he had so much charisma. Mm. The only other person I knew in my life, or you know, didn't know, but met, who had that sort of charisma was Bernstein.
Right.
There was a similar sort of incredible, you know, just aura about him.
Mm. Mm. he we got together and did a concert for you. It was your birthday, I think, and you were asked Richard to play, and if I'd sing a couple of songs, and I sang a couple of Joanie's, and we met, and we just clicked. We liked each other, and we've stayed friends, and of course, been through the tragedy of the loss of Richard, and. And there's quite a bit of Richard on this album. So
Tell us about that. You open with one of his arrangements on a beautiful composition, My Ship.
I just think it's a lovely, perfect arrangement. He has everything about Richard in it. It's just, nothing's wasted. It sets the voice up beautifully. It's terrific. Mm-hmm. Then there's a tune of his with a lyric by Frank Underwood called Early to Bed that he wrote for Blossom Deary, actually.
Wow.
But Blossom Deary never wanted to do it. And he played it to her in his New York apartment. He said, this early to bed, because, of course, she was famously going to gigs early. And she says, I like it, but I'm not going to do it. And he said, well, why, Blossom? It's a great song. She said, there's that lyric in it, I ain't got the energy, I ain't got the bread. She said, I got the bread. And never did it. So and Richard did it, and I never did. But now that was me saying, hey, it is a great song. Mm. And finally, the last... thing, Goodbye For Now, which is his music, lyric by Charles Hart, and it's the last will and testament, and it's, you know, pretty ironic, and that was pretty tricky to sing, actually. We've kind of give it a waltz tempo to take it away, but I had to have a few goes at that one. It's pretty, you know, just a great loss, but it's my dedication to his memory.
The last track that we're going to hear is a piece by Joe Stilgo. Now, Joe has become quite an important factor in your musical world, hasn't he?
He has, actually, because he had to dep for the three or four gigs that were still in the book after Richard died.
Yeah.
And he did the Wigmore Hall with me, and it was just great. If anyone was going to sort of step into that role, Joe was completely perfect for it, because he's so talented and charismatic and funny and writes great songs. Mm. And he said he'd got this song on the go that he thought I'd sing well, and he wrote it for me, really, which I've never actually had. I was so flattered. Mm. All about the situation he was in, where he was really tongue-tied. He was, before he married his wife, and he was sort of at the beginning of the affair. Mm. He was stuck with what to do, and he said he was lost for words. So he wrote that for her, and I was egging him on, telling him what to text and how many kisses to put and capital letters for that and all the rest of it.
Well, it's a simple, poignant piece, and it sounds like it could be from a musical in the sort of Kurt Weill tradition, perhaps. You know, the texture, the approach, the lyrical directness in a way. Well, the album's called Time and Place, and we're going to hear Lost for Words, written by Joe Stilgo and featuring Claire Martin. And thank you so much, Claire Martin and Mark Anthony Turnage.
Thanks, Julian.
Thank you.
Once I could speak, oh, how I'd talk for miles, and at my peak, I once made the national trials. Now I am still quiet as a mouse. It's quite a thrill that I am simply lost for words. Not a sound. You have left me merely scratching around, drying up just as if I never learned. I was frozen as you burned, lost for words. Nothing. nothing there. All that I could do was stand and stare. I implied what I knew was never heard. You had found me lost for words. Should I retreat? Should I just mime along, gaze at my feet, pretend there's nothing wrong, caught in a spell, tongue-tied in knots? How can I tell that I am simply lost for words? What a fool. Like a fly in a swimming pool, trying hard just to reach the other side, drowning slowly, starry-eyed, lost for words. You're divine, with your lips you have silenced mine. If that's all, I will join the bees and birds. All that sound, but lost for words.
Lost for Words from Claire Martin's new album on Lynn Records called Time and Place, and my thanks to Claire and Mark. And to catch Claire on tour, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. One of the great architects and characters of this music, and also one of its most celebrated composers, is bass player extraordinaire Charles Mingus. A comprehensive box set with all his recordings from his Columbian RCA albums has just been released, capturing the maestro in his multifaceted splendor. And from CD7, which covers Mingus and friends in concert with the weight of his effervescent orchestra with superstars Randy Weston, James Moody, Charles McPherson, we have this track featuring the tenor saxophone of Gene Ammons. This is Jump Monk.
Thank you.
The timeless Charles Mingus and Jump Monk from the box set, the complete Columbia and RCA albums collection. Well, from the sound of superstars past to stars in the making, Robert Glasper is on piano, Ben Williams bass, Keon Harold on trumpet, John Ellis on the saxophone, and leading the session from the drums is Otis Brown III. Now, for those of you not familiar with Otis, he plays in Joe Lovano's Us Five group with Esperanza Spalding, and he also plays drums in the Bass Superstars band. This is The Way, Truth and Life. Thank you. Drummer Otis Brown III from his new album out on the Blue Note label called The Thought of You, and that was The Way, Truth and Life. Now, Chris Barber has been blazing a trail for British jazz for many decades now. Originally part of the revivalist movement with the late Humphrey Lyttelton, Chris Barber has been one of the major voices in British jazz as a trombonist, bandleader and statesman for the music. We were thrilled to be able to capture his recent concert set at the 2014 Brecon Jazz Festival, who celebrate their 30th anniversary this year as one of Britain's major and most consistent jazz festivals. Recorded at the Theatre Brecheniog on Sunday the 10th of August, featuring Bob Hunt on trombone and trumpet, Peter Rudforth on trumpet and flugelhorn, Mike Magic Henry on trumpet and cornet, Richard Exall on clarinet, alto and baritone saxophone, Amy Roberts on clarinet, alto and tenor saxophone, Bert Brandsma on alto and tenor saxophone, Joe Fowler on banjo and guitar, Jackie Flavelle on string bass and bass guitar, John Watson on drums, and Chris Barber on trombone. This is the Big Chris Barber Band, and they open this set with Party Blues.
curious about you guys are now, more from the swing era, one of the experiences that jazz players love to play because the tune is so limited, they can play anything they like and get away with it. It's called the C Jam Blues. We'll be right back.
Merry-go-round, the big Chris Barber band, ending tonight's concert set recorded at the Theatre Brehenjog as part of Brecon Jazz Festival 2014. And for more information on Chris Barber and for all the titles played on this week's programme, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Well, that's almost the end of this week's Jazz Lineup, but there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jeffrey Smith's Jazz Tonight at midnight, and Jazz on 3 on Monday night at 11. This week, Jazz Nelson has highlights from the 2014 Jazz Ahead event in Bremen, Germany, featuring Elephant 9, Kaja Draxler and Mark Carey's Focus Trio. And on next week's Jazz Lineup, concert music from Brass Jaw, recorded at this year's Edinburgh Festival Fringe. To sign off with tonight, the sound of New Orleans in full groove with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band from their new album That's It. This is the title track. That's it. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
That's It, played by the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, ending this week's Jazz Lineup. The programme was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. This is BBC Radio 3. It's 7:30, time to go live to the Royal Albert Hall for this evening's prom, which is presented by Penny Gore.
It's an evening of magical stories at the Royal Albert Hall tonight, courtesy of the BBC Symphony Orchestra and its chief conductor, Zachary Oromo. We'll be delving into the exotic world of the Thousand and One Nights with Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade, settling down for fairy tales amid an enchanted garden in the Mother Goose Suite by Ravel, and hearing two pieces for voice and orchestra with Zachary Oromo's wife, the soprano Anu Komsi. Voice Versa by the Finnish composer Jukka Tiensuu will be receiving its UK premiere. And Carol Szymanowski's Songs of a Fairy Tale Princess include Zachary Oromo's version of the three songs that Szymanowski didn't get round to orchestrating. First, though, it's Ravel, who was fascinated by fairy tales and legends. Paradoxically, this dapper, fastidious and highly cultivated man was most at home in the world of childhood. His suite, Ma Mère Loire, Mother Goose, was written in piano duet form for the small son and daughter of Ravel's close friends, the Gadebskys. Ravel then orchestrated the pieces and eventually turned them into a score for a popular ballet. Well, tonight we're hearing Ravel's five-movement suite, not the full ballet, which evokes the elegant and opulent world of Charles Perrault's 18th-century fairy tales. And several characters take part. Sleeping Beauty, Hop o' My Thumb, and then Little Ugly, Empress of the Pagodas. She's evoked in Oriental style, maybe a memory of the gamelan heard by Ravel at the 1889 Paris Exposition. A conversation between Beauty and the Beast comes forth, and finally there's a leisurely walk through a fairy garden, its mood of hushed, breath-holding suspense, suggesting all things magical and mysterious. And the players of the BBC Symphony Orchestra just settling themselves down. Not an enormous orchestra for this piece. Ravel held back on the brass section. Plenty of woodwind, though, as you'll hear. Harp, celesta and percussion. And applause now for the guest leader of the BBC Symphony Orchestra, Daniel Rowland. And here comes Sakari Oromo to conduct the BBC Symphony Orchestra in the first of tonight's fairy tale pieces, the Mother Goose Suite by Ravel.